Thank you for tuning in and listening to Mount Carmel Church of God Radio Ministries, where we strive to connect you with relevant biblical teachings for the world we live in today. Now for today's broadcast with Pastor Tim Yoder.
Thanking you for loving and caring about us so much. We come into this church knowing that this building isn't the church, it's the people inside. We know, Father, that your hand is on everything that is said and done here. We ask that you be with Tim this morning as he brings a message, and it might be a message from you. Be with the musicians as they lead in the worship, that we might not just sing to be singing, but that we might do it to honor you and glorify your name. We thank you for all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Blessed be your name, the land that is plentiful, where streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name, when I'm found in the desert place, or walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be your name, when the sun's shining down on me, the world's all as it should be, blessed be your name. Blessed be your name, on the road marked with suffering, from the strain in the offering, blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. You give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name.
Amen. This is one of my favorite parts of the service. I know you guys know that. It's where we pray for our three people that we know that need Jesus in our lives. People that are walking in the wilderness today and don't know where to turn. They have this hunger and desire for truth, but yet they can't see it. And we all have people that are struggling in life that need to know Jesus. And that's why we have the little cards that you put your three people's names on it. And this whole thing started off because it came to realization. My stepbrother, which my family had prayed for years, earlier this year gave his life to Jesus. And that was such an exciting event. But I wanted to share a follow-up. This morning, my stepbrother is taking it a step further, and he is getting baptized this morning. So we don't give up on prayer. We don't stop praying for the lost inside of our community, the lost in our families and our friends. Instead, we take them to Jesus, who can transform hearts and minds that we can't do on our own. So let's remember that, the power of prayer and the way that God works in their hearts, because we're not the people who save them. Only Jesus does. So let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity we have to come together to praise and to worship you. Father, we thank you for the way that you've transformed our lives and made us more into your image each and every day. Father, we know we still stumble, but we ask for the wisdom and guidance to speak the words to our loved ones, our friends, and everyone we run into, to be an example of what it means to be a follower of Christ. Father, we ask that you soften the hardest of hearts, that they may start asking the question, and that they may seek you. Father, we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's continue to worship this morning.
Here I stand, my life before you. Can't believe the price you paid, gave it all just for me. Lay my life upon the altar. Take me now, I place my life in your hands. King of heaven, you're my Savior. You left your place of glory, giving your life just for me. How could I ever repay you? You came into my life, Lord, you set me free. Everything I am, I give to you. You are whole. Take my life and everything I do. You are holy, holy. King of heaven, you're my Savior. You left your place of glory, giving your life just for me. How could I ever repay you? You came into my life, Lord, you set me free. Everything I am, I give to you. You are holy, holy. Take my life and everything I do. You are holy. Everything I am, I give to you. You are holy, everything I do. You are holy, 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 holy. Up from the ashes, your love has brought us out of the darkness and into the light, lifting our sorrows, bearing our burdens, healing our hearts. To our God we lift up one voice. To our God we lift up one song. To our God we lift up one voice, singing hallelujah. To our God we lift up one voice. To our God we lift up one song. To our God we lift up one voice, singing hallelujah. Chains have been broken, eyes have been opened, an army of dry bones is starting to rise. Death is defeated, we are victorious, you are alive. To our God we lift up one voice. To our God we lift up one song. To our God we lift up one voice, singing hallelujah. To our God we lift up one voice. To our God we lift up one song. To our God we lift up one voice, singing hallelujah. Hallelujah. Singing hallelujah. Hallelujah, singing hallelujah, hallelujah, singing hallelujah, hallelujah, making his praise glorious, 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 for him. His name is glorious, glorious, glorious. Make his praise glorious, glorious, glorious. Shout his name. To our God we lift up one voice. To our God we lift up one song. To our God we lift up one voice, singing hallelujah. To our God we lift up one voice. To our God we lift up one song. To our God we lift up one voice, make his praise glorious, glorious. Glorious, glorious. about his name. Glorious, glorious, glorious.
Okay, if the kids would like to come forward. Come on up. Have a seat. Stay down here, honey. Can you come down on the floor? Yeah. We just saw each other in Sunday school, didn't we? Okay. As I was deciding what I was going to do, I decided something so I could spend a little money. What's this, you guys? A teddy bear. It's nice and soft. And, oh, its little eyes are hidden behind its long hair. And it's got a pretty red bow. But bears come in all different colors, don't they? Yeah, I used to have a black and white one when I was little. And my girls used to get different colored ones at Christmas time because the stores would make them. Do you?
I have one that's red and one that's pink.
Oh, wow.
I have four.
Four, wow. Oh, they all have the same name. It's easy to tell them apart then, isn't it? Because my girls all had names that started with an L. I would mix them all up. Okay, now, some people like to sleep with them, right?
I sleep with my teddy bear.
Do you sleep with your teddy bear?
I have.
You don't sleep with it? Well, sometimes when kids are little, they really sleep with them, and they like to have them with them all the time, and it's nice to cuddle up with them. And you do? Does it make you feel better then? Yeah. You know, teddy bears are pretty easy to take care of. You could take them on an airplane, and you don't have to buy a ticket for them. You could even stuff them in your suitcase if you wanted to, but he could sit right on your lap. Yeah. And why do we like to have these things close to us? Makes us feel better, doesn't it? Is there anything that you're afraid of? You're afraid of the dark? Have you ever been afraid of the dark? Have you ever been afraid of storms? Oh, that's good. Yeah.
That one time I was scared of the dark and then I just...
Did ya? I used to be afraid of the dark in my bedroom. Yeah, because it's all by myself. That's good. Well, we use our bears for comfort, don't we? They make us feel better. We feel like we're safer when we have them close by. Yeah. Even my dog likes stuffed animals. She likes to lay her head on it when she sleeps. And you know, my girls had blankets. And I had a blanket, too, that I used it in the daytime. I put it underneath my pillow a lot of times when I got older. But it always made me feel better when it was close by. So, but I don't use it anymore. In fact, I just bought this one. But maybe Well, I used to just wad it up and put it under my head, and it made me feel better. But oh, that's good. But, you know, oh, that's nice. Yeah, Damien. Really? Well, you know, wait a minute, guys. You know why we don't have to be afraid? You know why we don't have to be afraid? We have somebody else who can comfort us.
That's Jesus.
Right. Jesus can comfort us. So all we have to do, how do we talk to Jesus? Guys, how do we talk to Jesus?
Prayer.
Right, prayer. We pray to him, don't we? And we know, if we look in our Bible, we know he's always there. And you know, when he comforts us different times, we can comfort other people just like he comforted us. And we can help other people to talk to Jesus and tell him our troubles. So that's what our lesson is today. Jesus gives us comfort, and we can comfort other people too. Yeah? Do you? Is it soft? Is it soft? Do you like it? Yeah. So, let's have a prayer, okay? And then I have something for you. Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that we know from the Bible that you're always there and that you will comfort us and you will help us to comfort other people too. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning, church. Who is excited to be in the house this morning? Come on. I want to welcome everybody this morning. I want to welcome those who are joining us online on the radio. We're so glad that you could be here with us this morning. But before we really dive into the word this morning, let's start off with a word of prayer. Let's start off as we were just instructed. Let's go to him. Dear Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the opportunity for us to join together as believers of Jesus and what your son did on that cross. Father, I ask that you open each one of our hearts and minds to hear what you have to say today, that we may learn to grow deeper with you, that we may dive into your word. And just, Father, I ask that it's your message and not mine. And if I say anything that is not of you, may it fall on deaf ears. I pray this all in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You know, last week, we took a look at where our treasure is. We took a look at what is the memory of us going to be to the people in the world around us. You know, we put a lot of stock into things of this world. We try to strive to achieve much. We try to accumulate what the world has around us, whether that's money, possessions, power. When we do this, we often take our eyes off of Jesus and place it on things of this world, and we inadvertently decide on who we're serving. We unknowingly put this gap between us and Christ. We even place this gap between us and our families. We get so caught up in keeping up with the Joneses and what everybody has in the world around us that we lose focus on what's really important in life. In the passage last week, Jesus emphasized that we must choose between serving God or things of this world. That we cannot serve both at the same time. Because at the end, one will win out. If we choose to follow things of this world, there's going to be some natural consequences. There's things that are going to come about. When we place our trust into our items, our money, our possessions, everything here in this world, we're going to have different categories of things that come up. And one of them is anxiety. Is anxiousness, worry. And we live in an anxious world. In fact, here in America, anxiety is so rampant that 1 in 6 people are on some form of antidepressant, anti-anxiety medication. And this isn't just in the secular world either. This is inside of the churches as well. Now, I'm not criticizing anybody who has taken that step. I'm actually proud of you for going and getting help if you needed that help. But I want to remind us today that when anxiety comes about, we need to make sure that we're leaning into the one who brings us peace. That we're not trusting in the world for that peace and security within us. That we're adjusting our eyes off of things of the world and leaning in and seeking and trusting in God first. There's nothing in this world, not our possessions, not our jobs, not even our families, that can give us that peace that Jesus can. That peace and hope that Jesus brings us. You know, tomorrow there's going to be a time of silence. There's going to be a time of remembrance for the lives that were lost 22 years ago on a very tragic day in our nation's history. Our nation was turned upside down. It was 9/11. Sometimes we almost use that term without giving much thought about what it really means. But it's a day that many of us remember greatly. Ask anyone here who is old enough to remember that day, and they can tell you where they were, what they were doing, the moment they found out the news. It affected all of our lives in ways we could never imagine. And it forever changed our lives and our nation. It's the day that 19 terrorists made a choice to hijack 4 airplanes filled with innocent people and attack our nation in the most cowardly of ways. There was well over 3,000 people who lost their lives that day. And it kicked off a war that lasted over 20 years. We no longer knew what tomorrow would bring. We didn't know what to expect. Anxiety was in the air and fear was all around us. Churches that had been empty suddenly filled up with people looking for hope and peace in that very moment in their lives. And Jesus is the one that could bring us that hope and peace in our lives if we're willing to look to him. People were worried. People didn't know what to do. You know, just like then, today we find ourselves worrying often about all types of things in our lives. We worry about what we're going to cook for dinner. We worry about what shape our house is in when guests stop by. Personally, I'm guilty of that one myself. Housekeeping has never been a strong suit of mine, but I prefer a clean house, so it's a catch-22 to live in. We can find ourselves worrying about other things as well. Or the time you said something that came out wrong and you're wondering how they took what you said. Because you tried to say hi, instead you said hi-lo, because you confused the two words. I've been there as well. We naturally want people to like us, to not stir the pot too much. Oftentimes we consider these things the smaller worries of life. But we can find ourselves concerned even with the small things, or we can even go to the more difficult things in life. We can start worrying about how am I going to pay my bills this month? They just keep piling up. And you feel like you're just barely keeping ahead. Maybe you have a job interview coming up that you really need. Or maybe a first date with someone you knew, or you just don't know what to expect. Maybe your marriage is in trouble, and you don't know where to turn anymore. Any of these things can cause us problems. Some may say, hey, these are normal. The problem is we can allow these worries to become persistent and uncontrollable in our lives. We can get to the point that all we do is worry about the what ifs each and every day. Or we keep looking for the worst case scenarios that we may face at any moment. We just can't seem to get these anxious thoughts out of our heads to the point that we can start to interfere with our everyday lives. We may start to take our negative feelings out on those people that are closest to us, causing fights and arguments between family and friends that you're not even sure where they came from. Some people turn to self-medication, using drugs and alcohol to dull the pain, to distract us from the realities of life. That if we don't have to face it, we don't have to worry about it, even if it is just for a moment. The old term, drink the pain away. We may even try to distract ourselves by zoning out in front of screens, to endlessly scroll through Facebook, TikTok, or a number of other social media. We may binge watch TV shows over and over again. Anything to distract us from the realities of what we face. The problem is none of this actually helps us. Oh, we may have a moment of relief, but that worry is still there as soon as the distraction is lifted. It can keep us up at night. It can make us edgy during the day, often feeling like a nervous wreck. We can find ourselves having a difficult time overcoming the worries of life. And we just constantly focus on the negative. We keep looking to the world for answers, and we're getting nowhere. When we keep our eyes on this world, we're going to run into these problems over and over again. Jesus reminds us that we're called to look to him for the answers in life, that we are called to seek him out in everything that we do, that when panic strikes, when anxiety grabs a hold of us, we're called to find our purpose and how to handle the situation through seeking Jesus and his kingdom, placing him first in our lives, to learn to dive into his word and his promises that he has written to us, that he has given us to help guide along whatever we face, to learn to trust him in the middle of the storms that we have in life. You know, the Bible tells us in Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. Now, let me be clear. This passage does not say everything is good. We know the world is a fallen world. We know we have a fallen nature and there's sin all around us. And there are going to be difficulties that we face. We all know somebody that's been diagnosed with cancer or some other form of disease at some point in life. We all know people that have families that have been torn apart or people who've lost everything they've ever worked for. In a blink of an eye, there's natural disasters, fires and wars, things that this fallen world brings about. But what is being said here is that God can take care of even the worst situation and use it for his glory. He can use you no matter what place in life that you're in at that moment. He can use that situation and you for his glory. We simply need to turn our eyes to him and keep our focus on him. As we keep going through the Sermon on the Mount, I keep seeing Jesus referencing that he is the source of our joy, that he is the source of our happiness, that he's the one who stands with us no matter what we face in life. That we're never alone. He keeps teaching us to look to him and not to the world around us. Folks, he's calling you to look to him, to search your heart and make him number one in your lives. We can't continue seeking things of this world and be saved. We can't serve two masters, as last week wrapped up. We either look to Jesus or this world, because the two are not compatible. The world leads us to death and destruction. Jesus brings us life and life abundantly. He brings us peace beyond any understanding that this world can offer. That is why he told us last week not to store up treasures here on earth. Instead, focus on things above. To keep our eyes on him. He tells us in the passage today that we should not worry about the things of this life. That he takes care of even the smallest of details when we trust him. And the key is to trust him. That we are called to hand our lives over to him. You know, Matthew chapter 6 this morning, starting in verse 25 through 34 is where we're going to be. In this passage this morning, Jesus points out that the attitude towards life that we have as his disciples, as his followers, we should represent to the world around us. He points out what our attitude should be in those moments. That we shouldn't be worried about the little things, that things of this world will be provided for us as we need them. That we should keep our focus on God. That we should allow the little, that we shouldn't allow the little things to overtake us. We shouldn't allow them to worry us in keeping our eyes off of Jesus. That's the distraction the devil wants for you. He wants you to worry about those small things, to keep your eyes from looking to Christ. He tells us in verse 25, "Therefore I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothing?" You know, that command he gives us not to worry about our lives, it doesn't give you the right to not work to supply for your needs. What he is saying is that the food and water is less important than the life that that food and water is sustaining. He's saying that clothing that you're wearing is less important than the body that it's covering. Because God is the one who sustains our lives, and he gives us our bodies. He will provide what we need if we trust him. When we worry, it immobilizes us. It keeps us from being able to move forward. We can get stuck in a position when we allow worry to take over. But when we trust in God, it moves us into action. It pushes us closer to him. Yet, we work for our money that helps pay for our food and clothing. But we have to remember that God is the one who provided it. That we don't have to worry about that when the need arises, we can count on him. That God will provide all that we need. You know, I look back on my own life and how God has blessed me in different ways, in different situations, and even some of the worrisome struggles that I have faced, some of the scariest of the unknown times on how God has provided each step, even if it was only for the day to carry me to the next day. Back in 2014, I had a massive house fire, one of those where the house collapsed in on itself. I literally lost everything I had. I had the clothes on my back. That was it. No clean toothbrush, no clean clothes, no nothing. And I found myself questioning, God, why would you let this happen to me? Why would you let me go through all of this? I said yes to ministry. I had answered the call. I had taken the steps that he had asked me to do. Why would you allow me to lose everything at that moment? I mean, I gave up everything to follow you. My old life was behind me. Yet here I was with nothing left. And after I was done complaining, he simply put two passages into my head at that moment. One was Isaiah 55, 8 through 9. And it said, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and your ways are not my ways. This is the Lord's declaration. For as heaven is higher than earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." I felt like a gut punch there for a minute, like, all right. And the very next passage was actually our next passage this morning, working through the text. Verse 26, and it said, "Consider the birds of the sky. They don't sow or reap or gather in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth more than they are?" It was a reminder in that moment that God was the one in charge, not me. That yes, this was a situation I didn't understand, but he was in charge at that moment. And he was somebody I could trust to take care of it. You know, God loves all his creation. But do you understand that we are made special? We are the only part of creation that was made in his image. And because of that, we have a special place with him. We are worth so much more than anything else in this world. We are worth so much more that he is willing to send his own son to die on the cross for you and I to make a way that we could be restored back to him. This wasn't for the rest of creation. That was for us. This was such a reminder to me that God is the one in control, not us. That moment when we first go to Jesus and give him control of our lives, we say, Lord, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior, and my life belongs to you. That we're saying is it's no longer our lives, but Christ's lives. My question is, when you made that commitment to Jesus, did you mean it? Did you understand the words that you were saying? That you're handing your life and control of it to him. If we do that, we need to allow him to move us and guide us. Because Jesus reminds us in verse 27, can any of you add one moment to his lifespan by worrying? Think about that for a moment. Can you even add a minute to your life by spending it in worry? What value does worry bring to you? It brings you no peace. It brings you no joy. It gives you no guidance. So why do we sit in it and allow it to rule our lives? Jesus is saying, let it go. To turn it over to me, I already have it handled. But the trick is, we have to learn to let it go. I know my house fire turned into one of the biggest blessings of my life that I never could have even imagined. But what it did is it required me to put my focus on him and to walk through the doors as he opened them. Was it a fun time in life? No. But God took care of everything and restored it tenfold. But I had to learn to walk through it with him, not to sit there and wallow in self-pity. I had to allow him to have that control. You know, just because I couldn't see the end doesn't mean Jesus didn't already see it at that very moment. He already knew what he was doing. I can't even see 5 minutes ahead in life. Jesus can see all the way to the end. Verse 28 through 30 says, and why do you worry about clothes? Observe how the wildflowers of the field grow. They don't labor or spin thread. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was adorned like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and thrown into the furnace tomorrow, won't he do much more for you? You of little faith. Jesus is bringing around that same illustration here again, saying, I will provide for you. And we can trust his promises that he will carry the burden of providing what we need in our lives if we trust him to. That we don't have to sit there and stew in our worries and anxiety. That we can trust our Heavenly Father to provide all that we need. It may not always be what you want at that moment, but as time goes on, you learn is what you needed. Because we can trust in that. We can take a walk through a field today and see all the beauty around us. We can see how God has done amazing things. These flowers, though, that we see when we're walking through the wildflowers, they only last for a fleeting moment. Yet aren't they more beautiful than anything that we can create on our own? If God is willing to do that for the fields, how much more is he willing to do for us, those he calls his sons and daughters? You know, at the very end of the passage, he's kind of rough there. It sounds a little rough. It says, you of little faith. At first read, you may almost take it as a snarky comment. But here's the thing. If we actually read it in the Greek, if you go back to the original text, it wasn't a snarky comment. It wasn't Jesus trying to slap his disciples in the face saying, come on. Instead, it was more of Jesus like a parent coming alongside them, putting his arms around them and encouraging them upward to help them grow in their faith and to trust him. Puts a new perspective on it. God's not just trying to bully you or push you into this. He wants to come walk alongside you in this moment. seek you out for that wisdom and to show you the way. He is our Heavenly Father. We are His sons and daughters, and He loves us where we are. Doesn't the Father want to provide the best for His children? Continues in verse 31. So don't worry saying, what will we eat, what will we drink, or what will we wear? God has it under His control. He knows what we're facing in life, and He's going to take care of it. As we talked about last week, we don't need to concern ourselves with things of this world. God has those things handled. All we need to do is look to Jesus and remember our reward is in heaven, not here on earth. He reminds us in verse 32, for the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, and your Heavenly Father knows that you need them. You see, the world around us worries about these things because they have no other hope. They don't have what we have. They don't have a relationship with a Heavenly Father that wants to provide and walk alongside us. They don't have that peace that surpasses all understanding that comes from Jesus alone. We need to remember that we are called to be different than the world around us, that we are not to live the same life they do. That means our priorities are different as well. We should live such a life that people wonder what's different about us, that they should see Christ in us, that when we face a situation that would bring them down, we can stand firm in God's promises that He has it under control. You know, I remember back on my house fire, people were posting, they're like, how are you holding up through all of this? I was good. God kept providing each day everything I needed in ways I never imagined. And I responded differently than others. Even my own adjuster for the insurance was like, how are you doing this? This is going quickly. God's opening the doors. And I said, okay, I'll walk through them. We were able to share faith in the middle of those storms because we know God has it under control. We don't worry about things of this world. Instead, we do what Jesus says in the next verse. 33, it says, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you. What He's saying is that we are called to seek God first. Before anything else in this world, we start with seeking God because that's where our life starts. Our life doesn't start when we're born. Our life doesn't start at another time. It starts when we start seeking God. Seeking God and His righteousness should be our consuming priority. It should come before everything else in life, because we understand that without God, we are spiritually dead. We cannot earn our salvation on our own. We can't be good enough on our own. We can't provide for our needs on our own. That's why when we work within our own strengths, we fail every time. Instead, we need to seek Jesus in everything we do. Remembering, He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. And everything we have is because of Him. The Bible makes it clear that the righteousness of God comes through faith in Jesus, that He is the only one and He is the only way that we may enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus even told Nicodemus that we can't enter the kingdom of heaven unless we're born again. What Jesus is saying in all of this is seek Him first and everything else will come into place. That no matter where you're at in life today, if you start seeking Jesus, the rest will fall into place and come together. But we got to start there. When life is turning upside down, seek Jesus. And over time, things will all come together. One day at a time, God will provide our needs, often in ways that we never even imagined. As Jesus closes in section verse 34, He says, therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. You know, we're never promised tomorrow. We're never guaranteed to wake up in the morning. We can spend so much of our time worrying about what the future is going to hold, that we can literally take the joy out of today and where we sit at that moment. We can allow it to consume us. So Jesus reminds us, each day has its own set of concerns. Each day has its own problems that we have to face. So let's Live out the life that God has given us, trusting him in everything we do and everything we face. The Bible tells us in Philippians 4, 6 through 7, don't worry about anything, but in everything through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God who surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Folks, God has us in his hands today. He's walking along with you no matter what you are facing right now. And if you keep your eyes on him, he will not let you fail. We fail when we trust in ourselves, when we fall off the path that God has laid out for us. But Jesus makes it very clear in the passage this morning that he loves us, he cherishes us, he wants a relationship with us, that he will walk alongside us no matter where we're at in life. And he will support us along the way. It may be by minute, hour by hour, day by day, but we can trust that Jesus has us. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the reminder that you are the one in control and not us. Father, may we seek you in all that we do. May we trust you, knowing that you are right there with us and we don't have to face this life alone. Father, there's nothing in this world that can separate us from the love that you have for us. May we remember that greatly, and may we proclaim your name in everything as we go out this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This is my desire to honor you, Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. This is my desire to honor you, Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. Every moment I'm away, Lord, have my soul. I live for you alone, every breath that I take, every moment I'm away. Lord, have your way in me. Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul. I live for you alone, every breath that I take, every moment I'm away. Lord, have your way in me.
What a fitting song to close on. And I love how God works, because that song was changed this morning and they didn't know what my message was on. But may those words ring true to you this week. May God have control of your life. May you hand it over to him. And may you bring glory to him in all that you do. God bless, guys. Have a great week.
Thank you for joining us today from Mount Carroll Church of God Radio Ministries with Pastor Tim Yoder. We meet locally every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for Sunday school and 10 a.m. for service. If this program has been a blessing to you, we would love to hear from you. We can be reached at mcchurchofgod.org or find us on Facebook at Mount Carroll Church of God, where you may also find a copy of today's broadcast. We look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, God bless. Have a great week.